Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks so much for tuning in. You all are, you're killing it with the vacation spots. I feel like we've hit probably a half dozen countries already, maybe even more than that, as well as every corner of the United States. I don't think all 50 states yet, but man, getting pretty close. Awesome. I'm glad so many of you have got vacation spots that you enjoy, vacation spots that you look forward to, whether it's this year or whether it's not until next year. It's nice to have something to look forward to. And I think that was the most challenging thing for me when we first got the shelter in place orders around the country, and when so much of the United States had to shutter for a while. I had canceled 4 trips, I think, before we were a month in. And, you know, some of them really disappointing, some of them that I can't make up. And I'm sure many of you are in the same boat. Thankfully, a lot of, you know, vacation destinations, hotels, plus airlines are offering refunds or credits. But it's hard when you look forward to something and you plan for it, and then that opportunity is taken away through, you know, no fault or control of your own. So we're asking you on this edition of the show, what is your favorite vacation spot, whether for this year or somewhere down the road? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We just had a caller about the NHL and the NHL postseason, and while we haven't heard as much of the brainstorming from the hockey side as we have from, say, basketball or baseball, definitely the NHL is still holding out hope that it will be able to resume and then finish its season, hand out the Stanley Cup. We are pleased to welcome the radio play-by-play voice of the San Jose Sharks, Dan Rosenowski, joining us from the Bay Area. Dan, it's been fun for me to follow you on Twitter, which I would anyway. But during the course of the last couple months, you found this creative, cool way to keep hockey top of mind. You've been calling these, or using the broadcast from these classic Sharks games. How much have you enjoyed the walk down memory lane?
Well, it makes me feel very fortunate that when I first started with the Sharks, Amy, back in 1991 with that very, very first game in Vancouver, we made sure that every game was provided to us with an air check from our flagship radio station. So I've got 29 years, basically, of air checks in pretty much every game in history. A couple of glitches, some of the broadcasts. I mean, I was listening to one of these, and I all of a sudden heard Lon Simmons doing an A's game because somebody at the station flipped the switch on the recording. But a few things like that jump in. But yet it really is an amazing walk down memory lane, and what a great resource to have, especially at a time like this, when I'm now taking some of those tapes, which are digital, very, very little, and cassette, very, very lot, and I'm actually transcribing those. So I'm actually doing something that's, I guess you could say, useful, in that I'm making good use of the time that we're not playing and doing something that I normally would like to do but maybe wouldn't have the time to do.
How far back have you gone in terms of using, you know, classic broadcasts? All the way back to the beginning?
Yeah, we played the first game. That was the first one we did, and we'll probably air that again at some point. That game was unique in that the game was not broadcast on television to the Bay Area. The Sharks had a game in Vancouver on that night, which was October the 4th, 1991. And the very next night, they had a game against the same team at the Cow Palace. And so what television decided to do in those days, when not every game was necessarily on, was they felt that it was probably more important for a regional reason to carry and televise the first game that was played in the NHL in the Bay Area since 1976 when the California Golden Seals left. So that was this decision that was made. But the great thing for that is the only local radio or the only local broadcast that's available is mine, which is cool.
When you listen back to Dan Rusinowski at the beginning, do you ever laugh? Because I know I'm pretty glad there are no copies of my very early days in broadcasting. But how much different do you sound now?
Well, I certainly sound younger, that's for sure. I can tell you that years in the business, you slightly change the way that you do things. But I see all of the building blocks in what I do right now. But certainly it is a little bit different. But it's fun also to listen to the repartee that I had with my color commentators back then. That very first game that we're referencing, Dennis Hull was actually my color commentator for that game. And I haven't aired this one yet, although it'll probably pop up. But that was a time when there was an 80-game schedule in the NHL that first year, and 55 of the games were on TV. And Joe Starkey was the original television announcer for the Sharks. He did play-by-play for the 49ers and still has done some Cal football. So he was around the Bay Area for quite a bit and had done hockey before when he did the California Golden Seals. But Randy Hahn was filling in for him when he had to do a 49ers or a Cal game that year. So there were about 10, 15 games that Randy was going to do. And he hadn't done one yet. And so that very first game at the Cal Palace the next night, Dennis went over to TV to work with Joe Starkey. And believe it or not, Randy Hahn did color commentary with me. So I'm going to have some fun with that in a couple of weeks.
Dan Rusinowski is the play-by-play voice on the San Jose Sharks radio network with us from the Bay Area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've seen some of the hockey community come out and kind of sift through the various plans. But I think it's interesting, the NHL hasn't been quite as vocal as Major League Baseball or the NFL about what restarting the season could look like. But from what you've heard, what you've read, is there a plan that makes sense to you, Dan, if they have the opportunity to finish up what they started?
Well, it's kind of funny because when the season went on pause after we traveled from Chicago to St. Louis after the game on March the 11th, we got up the next morning and I started looking at the standings and trying to figure out exactly how this might get resolved. And of course, we had no idea how long that the pause was going to last. But it's very typical of Gary Bettman to do a lot of the speculative talk and the prospective talk behind the scenes and come out with a sort of a unified way of presenting it. And so that's happened before in a variety of other factors around the league. So it doesn't surprise me that the NHL has spoken a little bit less than other leagues about it, at least out in the open. But once it's proper to do so, they'll do that. And I think that we've seen great results of that in the NHL under Gary's leadership with that. And, of course, with Don Fehr and everybody else over at the Players Association who are heavily involved in this on the Return to Play Committee. But when I was first looking at it back in March and even today, I looked at the standings and I noticed that the teams that had played the fewest amount of games was about 68 and the teams that had played the most was 71, if my memory serves me correctly. And it made sense to me to not be unfair to teams, say the Chicago Blackhawks, for instance, that are kind of on the verge of still being in the running for a playoff spot.
Right.
I looked at it and there were 11 teams within 4 points of a playoff spot and one that was 5 points away. I think that's the way it is if you look at the standings now. So, and I haven't looked at them for a while because they're not relevant until we start playing again. But that's my memory of it. So that's what it sounds like the league is talking about. There's 24 teams, 12 in each conference, that are still within reasonable striking distance of qualifying for a playoff spot. And so that takes into account the body of work that's already happened in the season. The next part of it would be to equal out the number of games. Remember, as I said earlier, that the imbalance of the number of games that teams had played when the season went on pause could be a factor, and that gets involved into draft selection. So what I thought of was to see if you could get to either 74 or 76 games. If you go back in NHL history, Amy, you'll notice that the NHL did play those numbers of games at certain points in the 1970s when they were beginning to expand it a little bit more. So it's not unprecedented. Then you have a reasonable season, and then you have an equalized number of games played, if possible, for the draft position. But see, now that we've gotten to this point, with teams that aren't in the playoff picture, say the Sharks, for instance, at this point, does it really make sense for them to go out and play some games? So I think that if you do that with the teams that are left, the 24 teams that we were talking about, that's possible. And then you have a play until you get to 16 teams, and then you do the playoffs the way we normally do. So you can do that in hub cities. I've heard discussions in the last couple of days about either four hub cities or two, which was the most recent one that some of the folks that are close to the discussions have talked about. So that makes some sense to minimize the contact and so forth, and to maximize the ability to have facilities that take into account all of the social distancing that's going to have to continue to happen for the present time. So I think it's reasonable. I think that everything that's being discussed makes sense. And, of course, some of the stuff that's being discussed we have no idea about, because if we knew about it, they'd have to kill us.
If I tell you, then I have to kill you. Dan Rusinowski with us from the Bay Area on CBS Sports Radio. The NHL has narrowed this list of venues to under 10, so at least they're kind of honing in on an idea. Then you hear some players say there's got to be a drop-dead date. It doesn't make any sense to keep waiting until late in the summer, because then you're pushing back the start of next season. Where do you stand on that? But from a player's perspective, and knowing how much the season takes out of these teams, Dan, do you need a drop-dead date?
Well, there probably is one, and I think that that's probably something that they're holding close to the vest. But we've already heard Gary Bettman say definitely that the start of next season could be held back to November, certainly, and maybe even early December. And so he's already kind of given us a drop-dead scenario there in terms of this season being played and what you have to do for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But there's so many things that are up in the air about that. For instance, will you have a reasonable end to the season, yes or no? And will you have a full set of playoffs with seven-game series? That's obviously the goal, but they could theoretically modify that and keep within the framework of getting to a start time no later than, say, December 1st, for next year. So then you have one cramped in season, you throw out the All-Star break, you throw out the bye weeks that are already in place, as long as that's acceptable. And then you play a season and end up a little bit later next year, but play a full 82-game season, which they're totally committed to. So I think that it's a bit of an adjustment, but I don't think it's unworkable or unreasonable. And I think that if you are a player and you're trying to figure out exactly how you're supposed to train and what you're supposed to do, take advantage of the fact that you're healing your body right now, which is probably an advantage, and you might actually see some amazing playoffs for that reason, and work on that and make sure that you're ready, because when it comes time, it's going to be a pedal to the metal all the way.
I've seen a bunch of Zoom stuff with Logan Couture. It seems like he really enjoys talking when he has the opportunity. But in terms of the Sharks moving forward, whether they finish the season or whether they don't, what are a couple of things that are likely to change for 2021 season?
Well, the first thing that has to probably be decided by the management of the team, Doug Wilson, of course, being the top of that food chain, is the status of the head coach, Bob Bugner. And all indications are that Bob is going to be very seriously considered to remove that interim tag from his title as head coach of the team and be the head coach. But that's not necessarily the way that it's going to turn out. So I think that that's probably the one decision. And after that, a couple of other dominoes start to fall with the coaching staff, how that's assembled. You probably may or may not see a change or two with that. And then, of course, the roster. And what do you do with that? Right now, the Sharks are really heavy on quality defensemen, and they probably need a couple of wingers. And also, you have to consider one other topic that I know is of interest to you, and that is, what do you do with your 40-year-olds, Joe Thornton and Patrick? Well, Patrick Marleau would be a free agent. He's not on the team right now. But there's been discussion, who knows, that if he wanted to keep playing, he might indeed want to come back as he did last year. So those are all things you have to decide without tampering in that latter case. But these are decisions that have to be made. And what the Sharks are doing right now is that they're going to Europe. They're making some key signings. They've gone to their draft list. They've picked up a couple of players these last couple of weeks. They wanted to address the depth and goal, so they signed a young man out of Russia who's playing in St. Petersburg, who's 21, who's very highly thought of. And they've got another young man, Josef Korenars, who was the starting goaltender in the AHL. So then they have to start to piece together the free agent situation. And I mentioned the goaltenders because Aaron Dell is technically an unrestricted free agent whenever that period is. And so all of that all has to fall together. When do you have the ability to go out and talk to other players of other teams? Is it July 1 like it used to be? What if they're still playing? So there are all those things that still have to be decided and figured out. And I think that that's probably what's on the Sharks' mind to go forward with the draft being absolutely important every year to gain new prospects for the team, but also to continue to sign those players out of Europe as they've done and to make some decisions on all those free agents, including and perhaps especially, the real veteran players on the club that this layoff may or may not help.
Dan, do you know the last sporting event I went to was the Sharks and the Rangers at Madison Square Garden in, what was it, late February, I believe?
That's right.
We know, when I had a chance to see you and speak to you for a couple minutes in person, little did we know that, I had no idea that we were in 3 weeks that we would have our entire sports landscape essentially shut down. But,
well,
I mean,
yeah, isn't it strange? And,
yeah.
Everything that's going on with that too, Amy, we're staying distant from each other. We're isolating ourselves in homes. We're washing our hands obsessively. It's just another example of how Howard Hughes was ahead of his time again.
Yeah. Dan, I always appreciate the humor. And, of course, you've been very creative in coming up with lots of fun classic broadcasts. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Rusinowski, and he's the play-by-play voice of the Sharks. Good friend. We're always glad to have you on the show, Dan. Be safe, and thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. You be safe too, Amy. And obviously, if it gets lonesome out there, just give out a call to the sports world. A lot of people are really happy to talk to you. So we look forward to seeing you in the future.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.